Welcome to Local Matters. I'm Louis Matheny, and I'm in the studio with somebody I've been wanting to meet for a while now, and he is the Black History Museum of Warren County, Tennessee, Director Wayne Wolford. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Louis.
I think we met on Facebook.
Yes, we did.
I don't remember if you reached out to me or I noticed you, but I noticed that you are the director of a museum of some great importance right now, and I think it's a great time to be able to do a museum if you're able. I was going to open a museum myself at the time that we met and was not able to pull it off because I was not open yet and made the decision to not continue because I'm a supporter of a lot of local nonprofits and didn't want to be going after the same money. But you are single-handedly going to pull this to the finish line in a way that's really admirable. I have a little bit of envy, but only a touch, mostly admiration, a great deal of respect for what you're doing. So you're going to still try to get this museum open.
Oh, yes, yes. I appreciate, you know, everything that you've done and touched with me with Facebooks. And again, like when I told you about the premonition that I had, and by being retired from military, being retired from helping mentally and physically challenged adults, I was pretty free. Of course, I worked in the community quite a bit. But this voice came to me and said, Wayne, I said, yes. Well, I have a mission for you. I want you to do this. I said, wow. Okay, what is it? Okay, well, you're going to open up a Black History Museum. I said, huh? A Black History Museum. Well, I saw work all in front of me, you know. But by this voice, I knew that it was going to happen. And this is what I rely on. And so at that particular time, I just got excited about it and, you know, thought about it. And I had to do all the things that made it possible. You have your 501c3, you have your charter, you have everything else going for you as far as the paperwork is concerned. Well, I thought that, well, I could be president, my wife could be treasurer, and, oh, it'd be as simple as that. But once I got all the paperwork done, there was such a thing called a board.
Right.
I said, what?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you'll have to have a board. You're just going to be the director curator. I said, oh, wow. And so I have a good list of people, and from pastors, from military retired, from grant writers, doctors, and a lawyer. I've got some good people around me. So I have 14 people on my board.
No kidding.
And we work as a family. We work as a team. We're always communicating, and that's one of the key things right there. And what you do is, one of them told me, Wayne, don't go out and try to tell people what to do. Try to find out where their gift is. And so when I found out what everybody's gift was, I used it.
Yeah.
If, you know, if you want to try to gain funds for the museum, you don't ask them to go out, okay, you go to Bridgestone, you go this place, that place, and ask for money. No, it didn't work that way.
Yeah.
You take the gift, and whatever they gifted in, for as media, for as grant writing, for as being able to get out and do things, if we have fundraisers, maybe all they want to do is prepare the meals or prepare the games or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're good at, that's what you need to do and key on it. And it's been a success so far.
You've just also given some great advice to people, you know, whether it's a business or whether it's a nonprofit or an endeavor. And right now, I think there's a reevaluation of our lives, at least on my part and a lot of people I know, in which COVID is not just a terrible plague, but an opportunity to reevaluate how we live now, what our choices are about the future and what we're going to be doing in the future.
Yes.
And for example, a lot of people are now realizing collectively, there's been this light bulb that's gone off, which is, why can't people work at home more? Does there have to be a 9-to-5 in an office location or not? Can there be some flexibility, you know? And what you've just dispensed is great information and advice to people in a way that I think will be beneficial. And you learned it yourself as you went along, correct?
Yes,
more or
yes.
less. You were led to this. You mentioned a voice, and people have various beliefs about if there's a higher power at work in the universe or not, and some
Correct.
People define it quite straightforward in traditional terms as God. And that's what you mentioned to me before.
Yes.
You feel like this voice came from God.
Oh, yes.
Telling
yes, most
you to
definitely.
Do this. So very much a higher calling. Mm-hmm. But you haven't elevated yourself to a point in which you've ever said to me, look what I'm doing, and look, you know, God's placed me on this pillar. And your humility is amazing to have a higher calling. and to be able to just simply listen, and as you said, listen to other people and find out what the gifts are, yes. you know, and accept yes. those, and accept those gifts, yes. you know.
And when things go down, when you know, in anything in life, you have your downs, you have your ups and your downs, and when things look like they're going down, and you're not going to be able to accomplish this or accomplish this goal, then all of a sudden, it comes right back up again. Yeah. Then you stop and realize where it came from initially.
Yeah. yeah.
Because he said it was going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah.
You know, you and I had talked on the phone about this previously, and one of my strongest beliefs in life that's made my life a great life by my own definition, and a blessed life, really, I should say, the greatness is in the blessing, mm-hmm. is that I get up every morning and look in the mirror and say, let gratitude be your attitude. And I try to dispense that information to other people. And that's what I talk to you about. The you being Director Wayne Wolford, who's the director of the Black History Museum of Warren County, Tennessee. And I had mentioned to you that that if people cannot find gratitude for their hardships and cannot find gratitude for being in the pits, it's going to just be a harder life. You know, mm-hmm. It's all a matter of learning.
Yes.
You've learned. You came up against this thing that you didn't hear of called a board, and it probably literally looked like a board of wood where you go, what do I do with this wall right now? And it's just simply climb on the wall, get on the wall, you know, and help create a wall, you know, or a board. So.
And when you have 14 people, you have 14 different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And when all those opinions can be grouped and communicated with and resolved, oh, that is sweet.
Yeah.
That is really sweet.
Yeah. How do you think, what has your life experience been that you are able to work with a team and be a member of a team in a way that a lot of other people would not be able to do? What are some life experiences you've had?
I've had good mentors in my life. There's pastors in my life. I had to be my own man. My mother conceived me when she was very young, 14, and I was born when she was 15. And I don't have any brothers or sisters. My mother never married. And so I had to lean towards my uncles and so forth for as getting this good presentation of life, not to be on the bad side, but whatever you do, you earn it. And by doing this and living in the city, I lived in St. Louis for a while where things were rough. You had your mm-hmm. winos, you had the corners, your prostitutes and all this stuff. And then come to a country where all you had was ducks and cows and chickens, you know, and so forth. And so that was pretty neat. So
I didn't know you were a city boy, so to speak.
Oh,
originally.
Yes.
St. Louis is a heck of a city that's been through some upheaval and has changed
yes.
so much over
yes.
the years. So
yes, in St. Louis, I basically all I did, I just hung around the park because my mother worked in a hospital. And me and my friends and I, we'd go to the park, we'd play baseball, football, stickball, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was in the sports quite a bit. And then I thought I had a chance, you know, to play with the pros, like the Cardinals, and got cut. And I tried Cardinal baseball, and then I tried Pittsburgh baseball, and didn't make it. And had a chance to play with Ike and Tina Turner, and didn't get to make that. So all of those things were kind of putting me down, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And so after I finished high school and went to barber school, then I had my own business then. So I was pretty well established then.
As a barber?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, that's when you had the hot combs, you know, and then the fro, you had to pull them out, and then you cut them and shape them, you know, make them look pretty.
Right.
So, yeah, this was back in the day.
What year, more or less, or what period of time?
When I graduated in 66. So 67,
wow.
I went to 66, I went to Nashville, went to barber college. And then when I came back to McMinnville, I opened up my own shop. So, yeah, I've been cutting hair for a long time, but I let it go about 2 years ago. I'm 72 now, so I let it go. You know.
Are not 72.
Oh, yes.
What on earth?
So by going to doing hair in a small town like that, there wasn't much sports or anything. And I was still always athletic. And so one of my partners went in the military and said, Wayne, you ought to come, you know, check this out. So what I did, I went down to Huntsville, Alabama, checked out how they lived, how much money they made, saw the cars they had, we went clubbing and all this good stuff, you know. And so I came back to my recruiter the next day, excited as all get out. Well, I couldn't get in the Air Force because they didn't have any windows open at that time. So when I tested, all my test scores were good. So I got into electronics radar with the Army. After 20 years, I got to be out doing the work, and then I started working in the schoolhouse teaching, and then I started teaching instructors. So it was a pretty neat experience.
You know, I knew when I talked to you ahead of time about what we might talk about when you got in the studio and whether or not we'd need some talking points written down or even a script. And I instinctively agreed with you that we didn't have to have any of that. Just I was going to sit down and ask you some questions. Somehow instinctively knew you had a lot of stories to tell. I had no idea it's been that diverse for you. I mean, it's just, I'm just getting to know you today. I mean, I've had a couple of phone conversations with you, and as I mentioned to you, I really think that this might be part one of two, and I now get, and I'm going to say that to our listeners, this is part one of two with Black History Museum of Warren County, Tennessee Director Wayne Wolford, and I think there's so much more to talk about, but your experience has been incredibly diverse. I've had people say that to me along the way, and I've lived in several parts of the country and still live in more than one home and consider myself both a city boy and a country boy. But I am really loving hearing somebody who's had that much experience. And the fact that you're 72 doesn't make sense, and yet you should really be 110 to have had the experience you've had. So you obviously have a great deal of wisdom along the way, I think, right? You've had a lot of wisdom given to you along the
yes,
way.
Yes, I have, yes. Yeah. And you know, when you listen to the older folks, you know, the experienced ones, the ones that had problems back in the day, that had chips on their shoulders because they couldn't do this, they couldn't vote, they couldn't go places, they had to go in the back of eating places instead of front, you know.
And it's a very different thing now, and that's part of what you're recording history of at the Black History Museum of Warren County, Tennessee, and so much to be learned by going there and so much to be learned by just visiting the site. And that's what I'm getting is this wealth of information from your lifetime is a part of what you're imparting there at the museum. You're wanting to share the wealth of experience of other African Americans throughout history in Warren County.
Yes.
And let's talk more about that. We'll be back in a couple of minutes to chat some more with Wayne Wolford.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. Louis Matheny here in the studio with a guy I'm just getting to know and very excited about, and that is Black History Museum of Warren County, Tennessee Director Wayne Wolford. And I'm looking at a copy of Wayne's book that is called Through Wolf's Eyes by Wayne R. Wolford Sr., and I asked him the question if this was a memoir or autobiography, and it happens to not be. So tell us what the book is about. And why the title?
Well, the title came from being, people can pronounce my last name as Wolford. They'd all say Wolfer or Wolfie or something like that. And so I got kind of tired of that, and I was a kind of cool guy, so I wanted to be called something that was cool. So I said Wolf. Okay, so for years I've been called Wolf, and I've always wanted to write a book. As far as history is concerned, my grandmother was unique when it came to history. Even the artifacts that I have in the museum, I've got two storage sheds at home that I have stuff from. So by saving stuff instead of throwing it away, when I wanted to be an author, I thought that would be great. Okay, I retired from the military, so I wanted to be an author. And so when we do things in life that we set goals on, a lot of times there's that wall that where we can peep over the wall, but we can't always get over the wall. It's something mm-hmm. we see, we know we want to get mm-hmm. there, but it just seems like it's just a struggle to get over to the other side. And so I put out stuff for as Washington, D.C., some of the universities, tried to get publishing companies from these universities and so forth to kind of follow me and do my book.
You, when you say put out stuff, you were writing for them, some things.
No, I was writing,
yeah.
But I didn't really want to put it out because
I see.
One of the actual deals that I have in there is for baseball teams. We had two black baseball teams, semi-pro baseball teams in Warren County. And I thought that if I had given that to them to look at, maybe a year or so, I look on TV or the movies, and there it is, you know.
Yeah.
So I never did give the information out. And so after all that time, I said enough is enough. So after 17 years, I reached in my pocket, and I looked on the internet, and I found a publishing company, and I was happy with it. And so I sent them the money, sent them my copies, and everything is legit right now. So I had to do this myself.
You did a version of self-publishing
yes.
that a lot of writers and aspiring artists are doing now, a lot of self-promotion, a lot of self-publishing, a lot of self-recording when it comes to music. So
yes.
Through Wolf's Eyes is actually a history as told through your eyes or
yes.
your perspective and,
yes.
and the knowledge you were given. It's a great approach, I think, rather than just simply being a history book. The cover, folks, is great, and it's of a wolf studying something very intently, and that's what I've discovered about Wayne is that he, or Wolf, as I think I'm probably going to call him from here forward, has done many times in his life, correct? You have studied several things with intent closely and then just jumped. Now, the book itself, as you mentioned to me before, took a lot longer, and that's a very common experience with writers. You took several years to get that done. That was a wall that you had to climb up and over. And as you mentioned before, you look back and said, why didn't I just go ahead and do that?
Yes, right? Your procrastination. You know,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
it's that thing about procrastination that, you know, you want to do it. And I had several people around me that really pushed me. And one was, she wasn't a secretary, but any of the stories that I got interviews, she would type them for me, and I would pay her, you know, $1 a sheet, you know, mm-hmm. to do that. And sadly, she died before the book was over with. She had some mental problems, but she was very intelligent. And
yeah.
she ended up going down to Texas and on the interstate, and she got run over by cars. You
no.
know, it was sad.
Oh, dear.
So then that's when I put my foot down. I said, well, it's time to do something here. Because, see, I didn't know how long I was going to be around.
Yeah, that isn't often the case. It's sadly birth and death, but very often death that brings us to a point where we look at our own mortality, the
yes.
death of somebody else.
Yes.
And right now with COVID, you know, as you and I have talked about before, it's not just a plague. It's a great opportunity to figure out how we can possibly reevaluate our lives and live it a little
yes.
differently. And so there's a version that we're all facing. I mean, high numbers when it comes to mortals who have passed recently, and it's been shocking. And a lot of us say, hey, let's get going, all
mm-hmm.
of us together, and each
mm-hmm.
of us individually go, it's
yes.
time to just do this thing.
Yes.
You know, time is not, we're not promised any length of time.
No, right? Not even.
Yeah. So you're planning on getting, you're still in the process, the pre-opening phase, and you're planning on opening when?
This is going to be during the Black History Month, somewhere around the end of February. That's
okay.
going to be the grand opening. I'll probably open before then.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, anybody that wants to come by and check it out, it's 203 West Main Street in McNeville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on Suite 13. And anybody that wants to come by, and what I'm looking for right now is ideas. When people come in, for some reason or other, they're impressed when they come through the building. And before when they leave, they're always saying, wow, man, you did a great job. You know,
that's great.
But this is not finished. This is just
yeah.
the basic.
Work
no.
in progress.
You're
right?
Work in progress.
And aren't we all as humans, right?
Yes, yeah. yes, we are.
In the studio today with Black History Museum of Warren County, Tennessee Director Wayne Wolford, also known as Wolf. I'm getting this now, and it may be the name. And you've been doing something amazing there in a small town, and we've got a lot going on here in Cookeville, and I think that there are great opportunities for us to cooperate, both Cookeville, myself,
mm-hmm.
and several people with you to tie all of this together. We've had two histories of Putnam County written over the years, and I think it's time for another one to be written. And my publishing company is interested in doing a third volume. And perhaps maybe I keep asking the question, who should the writer be? And who knows, you know, even though you're not from Putnam County, it's just going to require research on somebody's part, you know.
Yes,
maybe there's an opportunity for you as if you have time, right? Well, you can focus your wolf eyes on that, and we'll talk about that later. And we're going to have you back in for Local Matters again to talk about a lot more. But one of the things you mentioned to me when I asked you about the museum and sort of who the target audience is, it's sort of everybody. And you mentioned you're going to actually have objects that speak to the African-American experience of childhood, including, you just said, yo-yos. You're going to have yo-yos for kids to put their hands on and items for them to look at and see and feel and touch. And that's just a great approach, I think.
Yeah, we have a grant already that has been approved and in our bank account already for an old school presentation. When you have children coming in, and hopefully they will be coming in with their teachers, and they'll be pointing at certain things like old irons and so forth, old radios. What is that? What is that? And the teachers can explain it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But that interaction, that's what I need. Yes, we have jacks. We have paddle balls.
Wow.
We have yo-yos.
Uh-huh.
We have marbles. We have pickup sticks. And that's just a touch of it right there. When they come in, we want them to see that where there's a bucket there that with a dipper in it where kids had to get water from.
Yeah.
You'll have a globe there, which nobody has a globe in the classroom anymore. Everything's internet. So we an old stove that has a pipe going up to it. And I have a mannequin there that's going to be the teacher and the teacher's desk and some two mannequins that's going to be children mannequins in desk. And so everything there is going to we're just going to promote and promote and promote for as it goes and interact with kids. We'll also have something even on the internet the way they can play and so forth because this is today's kids.
Yeah.
Also, each room is handicap accessible and getting into the building is handicap accessible.
That's great.
Also, there's going to be culture. We have a donut shop in town and we have people from Cambodia and they own the place and they have some artifacts that they want to present. I want the Spanish population to do that also. So it's going to be a cultural thing. Yes, it's going to be Black history predominantly.
But diversity.
Diversity.
I know you're going to be diversified to the point that you're going to also feature that. But
I'm a people person.
You know, it's interesting. It's been studied and remarked on that now is the time to get children involved. They actually want to be involved in non-technical things and non-technology. And parents are looking at ways of getting the children to not be addicted to technology. Sadly, there is actually a version of addiction with children that's enacted at an early age in which the child's dopamine levels go up the minute they have something satisfying occur on their electronic gadget. And smart parents I know have tech gadgets for their children so they don't feel completely left out among their peers, but that shuts off after 20 minutes.
Okay.
And what you're doing is a version of what's been suggested, which is bring back board games.
Yes.
Bring back tactile objects and activities. So the idea that you'll have these in the museum for children to put their hands on, genius. Are you either that higher power spoke to you and told you to do it? Because that's a smart, smart move.
I'm also a kid person. I substituted in school system for 8 years, high school, alternative school, middle school, and elementary school. I just had to be prepared that day when somebody said, which school do you want to get? Because when you're with elementary, they bounce around like BBs in a bathtub. So you had to be prepared for that. When you go to the middle school, the hormones, you got to be prepared for that.
Right.
When you go to the high school, these are the ones that kind of think they're adults. So you got to be prepared for that. So it was a great experience.
Yeah.
It was a great experience.
Yeah. I've been asked the question my entire life, what is it that you haven't done? And I am finding myself getting ready to ask you that question. And I think that in asking that question, it really is an invitation for you to come back for a second visit to Local Matters because we are running out of time. But I hope you would come back and talk some more about that. And one thing I just want people to be clear on is where they can find this, and it starts as easy as Facebook. You have a Facebook page, which is the Black History Museum of Warren County, Tennessee.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how I found you. Or I think you reached out to me, and I don't know which the case was. But I am really looking forward to working with you and helping bring students from this area to there, you know, and as I go about recording history or possibly publishing a third history of Putnam County, I think that it'd be all the more reason to work with you on history there, because we're just that
appreciate
close.
That.
I mentioned you before, and interestingly enough, as a child, my grandmother's baby brother, who by then was, I think, in his late 70s, lived in McMinnville, and we used to go at least once a season to visit there. And I have not been in a long time, and I so look forward to going back there and seeing that town, visiting friends, and going to the museum.
Good.
So hope to see you soon, and thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much.